Welcome to the Embodiment Conference 2020, also on behalf of the whole team behind the scenes. Thank you for your attention to another amazing presentation about intimacy and relationship. My name is Ilan Stefani and it's my pleasure to be sponsoring this channel, as I deeply believe that aliveness, embodiment, intimacy, relationship are key to individual and global change. My ongoing somatic research is focused on more and more aliveness for each and every one of us. I tune into the fields of collective trauma, of intimacy, of love and rage, shadow work, and higher level of energy. If you are curious about my work, you might want to catch my presentation on this channel as well as on the main stage. And you can also head over to my website, ilanstefani.com. My methods have been described as an embodiment training for warriors. However, you are so welcome to find out yourself. I teach online and in person. I teach in German as well as in English. Thank you for your attention and please enjoy the following presentation.
Our speakers today are Dr. Betty Martin, Christina Dorr, Adam Wilder, Ilan Stefani, and Owen Marcus. Please welcome them. And the screen is yours.
Thank you so much, Anna. So today I'll actually be taking a little bit more of a role of moderator. I might be answering some of the questions myself, but I'm especially here to serve to squeeze out everything out of the other lovely four attendants we have gathered here. So today's topic is about what happens when boundaries get crossed. And I want to spend a tiny bit of time to clarify your role and your interest in that entire topic. But I also want to keep it quite concise to allow a lot of space for going a little deeper than that. And at the same time, I also want to allow the audience and everyone who dials in is watching right now via the Q&A function to put any kind of questions you have that are really burning with regards to that topic in there. And there's a function of upvoting. So if you want one of these questions to really be asked to this panel, to anyone here or all of us, put it in there, upvote it. And towards the end of the session, we'll make sure to integrate a few of those questions. Right, so let's dive right in. I would suggest we just go in an order and I might call out your names to answer the first question in turns. And my first question would be, what's your personal link to the topic of boundaries? And maybe you can answer that within a minute. So Betty, would you like to start?
Well, my personal link to boundaries is that I have boundaries and as a human being, and therefore I get really pissed when somebody crosses them. It took me some time to learn that that was okay, that anger is a perfectly rational and it's really the appropriate response to having your boundaries crossed. I later started to define, well, what does boundary actually mean? Does it mean just something I don't like? I think it means something that actually belongs to me, something that I have a right to and responsibility for. My personal connection to boundaries is that I'm a human being and I have them and I'm learning about them.
Beautiful. Thank you, Betty. Yeah. Owen, would you like to go next? And then I would continue with Adam and then Ilan.
Thank you, Christina. Yeah, my connection with boundaries was that I grew up and I really didn't have any. And so I was getting violated and wondered why. And I was really being a victim to all these circumstances as a little kid getting picked on. And then gradually I started learning how to say no and defend my boundaries and be okay with that and start to feel that I could have agency. And then in working with men, I see how so many men struggle with the same thing. So together we're training each other.
Thanks, Owen. Adam.
Thanks, Christina. I grew up like Owen without many boundaries, and I found it very difficult. And my desire to fit in and connect and be part of things meant I sacrificed so much of myself that at the end I didn't really know who I was. And so it's been great really getting in touch with boundaries, getting in touch a bit with anger, like Betty was saying, and being able to say, hey, this, you know, I matter, my feelings matter, my thoughts matter. To reconnect these two parts of me, the part that really wanted to fit in and be loved and the part that needed to be authentic and seen for who he is. So, and right now I work with boundaries. I run an embodied sovereignty training, which is all about this.
Thanks, Adam. Ilan.
Oh my God, my answer is also, I also grew up and then somehow the whole story of me, first of all, no, I had a happy childhood. I'm not angry, I understand the other side, and everybody around like, okay, Ilan, that's quite some, quite a journey in front of you. And now I fall in love more and more with the topic of rage and boundaries. Because I really perceive that what we tell ourselves around, we cannot relate, we cannot tolerate intimacy, that's not true. We just unlearn in this culture to feel safe with another person and first and foremost with myself at the same time. And just bringing this instinctive, perfect design back to us as human culture, I'm thrilled by that. So I'm almost grateful for my own wounding around hypersensitivity, just because it opened so much for so many of us.
Mm-hmm. Mm. So it really looks, and I did not know this beforehand, but that a lot of your passion about this in particular stems from your very personal own experience of boundaries having been crossed in a very young sort of age already. Wow. Okay. So my next question would, to, and Betty, you already addressed that a little bit, like how do you define a boundary? What is a boundary? And second to that, how do you know it's gotten crossed? Would you like to start? I actually suggest sticking to the same order if you're okay with that to answer this and then.
Sure. Go.
Well, boundaries is a word that gets used in many different ways. And so, because people use it to mean it's something I don't want to do, or it's something I'm a no to, or something I own. And so I have found more use in the idea of domain, which is everything within this circle of what I have a right to and a responsibility for. So my body, my thoughts, my emotions, my choices, my my feelings, my dreams, my desires, all these things are in this circle of what I have a right to and a responsibility for. And so when I think of boundaries, I think of what's the edge of that domain, what separates, what distinguishes between what I'm responsible for and what someone else is responsible for. And then I think of limits as those things that I'm a no to at the moment. So if I define them that way, then my boundaries don't change. These are things that I'm always responsible for. But what I choose to participate in or what I'm a no to, that changes all the time, as it should. So I find it helpful to distinguish between what I always am responsible for and what I may or may not be a no to at any given time. And part of what I'm responsible for is being aware of what I'm a no to at any given time. And the reason I sort of came up with that idea was that I noticed that the word boundaries gets used in so many different ways and means different things. And then we argue about it because we're actually defining it differently. So I think of it as what distinguishes between what's my responsibility and what is yours. So if you tell me what I'm supposed to think or feel, fuck you, we're not going there. If you ask me if I'm interested in doing something and I say yes or no, then that's terrific. Then yeah, let's do that.
Thank you. So it's a matter of responsibility, and also it can change. Is that what I hear?
Well, our boundaries, if you define it the way I did, which you don't have to, just to notice that what we are responsible for does not change. What we are a yes or no to changes all the time. So which one of those are you calling boundaries? That's the, kind of the question.
Thank you for clarifying.
So, I would build on what Betty was saying, that I realized when I was being violated in the ways I was, that I wasn't really embodied. I wasn't in myself. So it was really easy for someone to violate me because I wasn't in my own space. And the more I've learned to embody my space, to be in my own experience, to be in my body, to be in my emotions, the more I wasn't getting violated, or more my boundaries weren't being penetrated. So it really wasn't so much about boundaries for me or how I work with these other men, but more of, am I in the moment? Am I in my body? And am I in my emotions? And then I get to choose if I want to invite you into my space and under what conditions. And the no is no, you're not invited. And I just found that as I was more embodied in this way, my boundaries weren't being challenged. And so I think there's, we put a lot into the definition of boundaries and not much into what is inside those boundaries. And so that has been my focus, is how do we fill that space within our boundaries?
So for me, I can't add anything to what Betty said. I'm a big fan of yours, Betty, and the School of Consent. And I love the domain and limits model. And but for me, I know my boundaries are being crossed because I feel a tightness in my chest. I feel a tightness in my throat. My muscles start tensing up. I feel the beginnings of anger happening. That's since I've really been able to make contact with that part of my emotional being. In the past, I used to shut down a lot when my boundaries were being crossed and go numb. So I think those are quite interesting indicators that other people have experienced as well.
So that's from your side, so I can jump in?
Okay. Please.
Go for it, Ilan.
I'm staring at your background and love it, Adam, so okay. Yeah. I relax so deeply when I hear a precise language using different terms for those different layers that might be otherwise be mixed up in the term boundaries. So I relax a lot around, okay, domain, okay, limits, whatever the word is, but there is some spaciousness in this field where it's not, it's a no, and everybody gets confused because a no can mean so many different things for one and the same person and different people. And so if I tune into how my boundaries get crossed, so perfect situation is I feel anger and I shift the situation to something where my nervous system can again regulate and feel safe, etc. And in former days, or sometimes today, it's a lot about I start finding myself being up in my head, doubting myself, the same situation over and over again, even though the situation is already gone. So this kind of disembodied loop in my head, that's something wasn't safe. And the feeling of safety and not safety, / for me being in my body connected to my instinctive nervous system, yes or no, that's the signal system that's wired in myself for knowing exactly which boundary was crossed or wasn't. And last thing I admitted from my side, when I wonder if my boundaries got crossed, yes, then they got crossed. Just because if they didn't get crossed, it's like I'm not an animal running around and faking problems.
Thank you, Ilan. That's actually one thing. If Betty or Owen, if you would like to add something to like the signaling system or any sort of symptoms or signs we should take seriously and can notice if a boundary has been crossed, then please do.
Yeah, I wanted to say that a signal that my boundary is being crossed is like Adam said, the signals of anger. However, anger is not only a signal of my boundaries being crossed. It also could be a signal that I didn't get what I wanted, which is a very different thing. So I take my body signals, and then if I can, of course, if I'm not too hot under the collar and I have time, then I look at it and say, okay, what exactly was that person trying to steal from my domain? What exactly, and sometimes it's hard to find, and sometimes it's easy to find, and sometimes it makes me realize, actually, you know what? They just didn't give me what I wanted. And that's not a boundary crossing. That's just them saying no. So anger is a sign, but it's anger is also a sign of other things. So I think it's really helpful to recognize that we can get mad because we don't get what we want. And that's not a boundary. Or it may be somebody else's boundary that we didn't get to cross. Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, I would agree that no is anger. I mean, and that's, you know, I think that's the right use of anger is to say no and create that boundary. But for me, one of the things I've found is I still go into a freeze response where I'm disassociated, I'm disconnected. And for whatever reason, I've been violated. You know, someone's crossed that boundary and I was like up to lunch. I wasn't there. I didn't know that. And so then it's like ingesting some food that's not good for me. I mean, I feel this sense of nauseousness and it's like, I want to get it out. And then realizing that I, just because it happened, I don't have to stay the victim. I have an agency that allows me to say no to it after the fact, that literally exercising it out of me and essentially giving it back to the person that gave it to me. But just because I allowed it doesn't mean I have to continue to accept it.
Yeah.
Thank you. I really would love to hear a bit more about what Ilan already touched on is when it's not certain, when it's not a clear, oh, no, this is something that crosses my boundary and I'm aware of it. But what is that in between the gray zone, the where I start questioning myself, where I might even believe for a while no boundary has been crossed and then might realize way later, or might realize in conversation and others reflected back to me. Do you have any pointers, and possibly even from your own experience, have you found yourself in like a tricky situation where you were like, like boundary crossed or not? And what do you do with that?
I fume. I wrestle with it in my mind and my heart. I like, now what is actually going on? And what did they actually try to steal from me? And what is actually mine? And did I just make that up? And it could be that not that they're trying to steal something, but I'm just not taking responsibility. And I'm just, you know, laying down and letting someone walk over me. It could be that I'm giving away my responsibility. So, I don't know, except to say that sometimes it takes a while to recognize that, oh my gosh, this person was trying to steal this from me. What was it? It's not obvious always at first.
Yeah, it's not obvious. And some of these times. And so I sort of create this sort of buffer zone of transition, like, all right, I'm gonna stay here because this might be a possible violation, but I don't know, but I'm gonna track it. And I'm gonna see what happens. And maybe it's me, maybe it's my own reaction for some past PTSD, or maybe the person's trying to do something and they're not aware of it, and it's really subtle, or they're very sophisticated at it. But I want to give them a chance. But in that space, I realize that I have agency. I can say something. And so the fact that I know that I'm tracking them and I can say something really gives me more resiliency. So I'm letting the situation evolve and then letting the situation determine what I do or what I say.
When I'm unclear, I notice looking back on my life that my boundaries were crossed in like early business arrangements and agreements with colleagues and relationships and families. And now I turn around and I'm grateful for all of those experiences, because I think it is through experience that we get better at this. And it's not just experience. It has to be we have to connect to our thoughts and feelings around it. So if you're feeling uncertain about something, you're not sure, I recommend talking to someone that you trust about it. Write down your feelings and your thoughts. Notice how you feel in the body when you're with this person or in this situation. And by cultivating that somatic awareness and that connection to our emotional being, I think we get better at being able to discern what's really going on. And like Betty says, it still happens. Like, it's always going to happen with someone. It's not like there's three bullet points and you're sorted for life. It's like there's always someone or some situation. For me, it's like it's with my mother, you know. I'm sure we've all got our own people that it's tricky with.
Yeah, I also wanted to add already something to what you said, Adam, like offering an even more differentiated language for this momentum of freeze. Because freeze, and also as you described it, Adam, is this kind of tension that we feel. Let's say that's a tough problem. However, it's not the toughest one. Because the toughest one is I collapse, which is so, let's say, close to the freeze response. Still, it's not the pain. It's not the tension. It's not, whoa, why am I so nervous and speedy? But it is everything okay. Just a normal day. And this kind of numbing out in the nervous system, I would call this is really, really the tricky part, because there we can spend decades and lifetimes without ever noticing that so many things also about this culture, about this era, are really crossing our boundaries. We need to be asked for so many things that are just decided somewhere else. And I think another crucial part that at least for me was a huge game changer is when I am thinking, have my boundaries been crossed? I somehow need it in my mind. Oh, the other person is a bad one. He's an asshole. And as long as I need an offender or a perpetrator in my dialogue system, I will lose this potential for finding a true answer for myself in my nervous system, because my nervous system is not about he's an asshole, so I'm allowed to hate him. My nervous system is about, hey, you are wired for self-love. Go for your boundaries no matter what. So I think this is super important for all of us. Your rage, your boundaries are not saying, and you belong to prison. They might say so. In most situations, honestly, they don't. It just means something crossed your boundaries. So really going out of this, the good one, the bad one game in my mind is something that opens so many options for me to listen to myself with more self-love, more curiosity, and less entanglement with this moral stuff that humans made up.
Yeah. Great. I love what you said, and that ties back into what Betty mentioned at the start already. It's a question of responsibility. And as long as there is sort of a projection outwards and trying to find the perpetrator, there might be something to take a closer look at, which doesn't deny the fact that a boundary has been crossed. But then the next step which I understand now from what you shared as well, is whose fault is it? What happened? Where does the responsibility lie? And I wonder if you have something more to share about that in situations where a boundary has been crossed. In fact, there's what you described, you can notice this isn't right. Something has been taken or been pushed, or how do you work with that question of responsibility? How do you identify where your own responsibility lies and where the other's responsibility was lying?
Oh, you asked really good questions. Well, it's difficult to answer because it's a huge range in what we might call boundary crossings. Coaching a couple one time, he was massaging her hand, and she had asked for a massage from here to here, and he gradually went up here and was completely unaware of it. She noticed it. He was unaware of it. And I pointed it out, and he said, "Oh my gosh, I didn't even notice that." Well, there's small mistakes like that that happen all the time. Or, I asked someone, not to call me, and they call me, and, then there's that, and then there's, like business arrangements and that sort of stuff, and there's physical assault, there's rape and violence. I mean, there's just this huge range. So, I forgot the question. What was the question?
it's a question around responsibility. How can we identify where our own responsibility lies, basically?
Yeah, I think Elon really addressed that so beautifully, because we have to ask ourselves, the more I have a sense of blame and, you got to go to prison, that's kind of a signal to ask ourselves. And this is not to say blame the victim. It's to say it's always useful to ask ourselves what we're responsible for. It's always useful, whether we're the person who has been harmed or the person who has caused harm, or we're just confused about it. It's always useful to ask ourselves what we're responsible for. What Elon said about if we have a strong urge to make the other guy, to vilify the other person, it may be true, and it may not be. It takes some introspection. I guess it's asking, what am I responsible for here? And when I can answer that, then I can come back and look at the actual situation, and it makes more sense. It's not that the other person is necessarily blameless. They may have been violent or any other number of things. But asking myself that first then allows me to see the situation more completely.
So yeah, I would certainly support that. And I would just add that beyond the asking, then I'll check out, what's my experience? What's my physiology doing? Am I going into that fight or flight or freeze response or the fold or whatever, collapsing? And the more I can not just be aware, but literally start to experience what's happening, and from that place of experience, express what I need to express, a couple of things happen. One, I'm healing a little more of my PTSD. And two, I'm showing to this other person that I'm vulnerable. And I'm being assertive at the same time, which can change, not always, but sometimes changes the context. Because rather than getting into a pissing match or a battle where it's, my boundary and you violated it and you're a bad person, okay, yeah, it happened. Maybe it was an accident. Maybe it was intentional. But I'm going to try to shift it to the experience and my vulnerability. And this is what I feel. And this is what I want. Now, it doesn't mean I get what I want, but for me, the edge is asking for what I want. Mm.
Lovely. I love the getting to asking for what you want and opening up desire piece. I feel joyful just thinking about it. When it comes to deciding responsibility and what's really going on, I like to bring a real spirit of curiosity and openness, and to remember, I like Betty says, there's this whole big range, and sometimes you might be feeling more activated and less curious at a certain end of that scale. But when we can bring the curiosity and bring this idea, we're all humans, and I like to uphold the goodness in other people. Think we're trying to do our best to get our needs met, and maybe people are expressing things in a way, maybe they're not really in touch with their needs, maybe this wasn't intentional. And to use this curiosity to observe really what is going on for me, and to be curious about myself and my reactions, and to learn about myself. And I love to do that in relation to other people. I love to do it talking with others, or writing, or meditating, sensing in the body. And I feel that practice, like studying the Wheel of Consent, Betty's creation, and practicing that and learning that has helped transform my relationship with this stuff, and made me way more able to say more or less sometimes in the moment, and sometimes realize just afterwards, like, actually that wasn't okay for me, and to be able to ask for what I want and have conversations around it.
It's interesting how I scan the question of whose fault is it, which is not exactly what I said or intended to say, I think, or who is responsible. I like scan the question for the possible responses in different conditioned nervous system, and like, whoa, no, let's not go there. Just because if I'm sitting here, my boundaries got crossed. And first of all, it might be true that the other person belongs to prison because of crossing my boundaries in this or that way. It might be true. However, that is not the motivation for my nervous system coming up with this rage and coming up with this killing instinct, because that's needed as an autonomous happening, not as something that's still in this dialogue and still sticking to this situation. That's on top. Who is responsible? Or whose fault is it? And to some extent, it's really how I try to work with those things in my nervous system is strictly on the level of the animal instead of the words and the human conditioning. Because when I end up maybe being violated, and then I figure out 100% self-responsibility, what I do is not giving a smart answer to a smart question. What I do is placing a bomb in my nervous system around, so you do not deserve anything better. And that is, in my experience, a disastrous outcome from a smart question. So it's not about figuring out whose responsibility it is, because at the end of the day, we are so fully 1000% self-responsible no matter what, and nobody can take over any responsibility from us any second of our life. And still, the key question is, what does my nervous system need in order to unblock the instinctive self-regulation? And from there, so much peace and so much clarity around boundaries and around repairing boundaries would open up for us as human beings, because we are mammals. That's my focus how to surf dangerous waves.
It's wonderful how you break it down to the physiological. And I love that, because very often what I fall back on to myself, but also what I keep sharing, is not to jump to the cognitive, not to jump into the thoughts, not to jump into the story behind everything. Yet I see it all around me. I notice it in myself that there is a tendency to want to know whose fault, whose responsibility, and the creation of stories, even in my own memory or in my own perception, not to want to be responsible to a degree and to want to avoid that. And I see it to, like in like a large scale today as well, but to break it down really to what is really necessary and important right now is to dial back, look at my own nervous system, resource myself is a beautiful advice. I'd love to also just second that therefore. I also feel there's a tendency to go into protecting the idea I have of myself, the identity question. Mm-hmm. And that sort of rejection of responsibility that I might notice creep up, and thereby spinning stories or creating stories or twisting stories. And like once we enter that level, ideally drop it down to the body, drop it down to the physiological. But once I enter that, to be really sharp and to be really okay to embrace that there's nowhere else to point outside, and that I'm also embracing the possibility that I might not be right, I might not be the way I want to be, I might not have been able to actually live up to my highest expectation or ideal of my own kind of created whatever thought I have of who I am. So I love that you break it down though and actually say this level shouldn't matter, the thoughts and the stories, but I see it so much around. And that's why though, do you have amongst the four of you other recommendations? Like let's dial it back to the physiological and the nervous system, but are there any other resources, any other mechanisms, any other tools, techniques that you find really valuable when you notice that your boundary has been crossed? Adam, you already mentioned a couple of them, like writing things out helps you process, and meditation. And do you have some other ones to share with us?
Are you speaking to me or just everyone?
Yeah.
Anyone, let's go popcorn style. If you have one.
Free diet.
Something that comes to mind is actually sometimes if you're feeling angry, I think it can be useful to express that anger in a safe way. That, you know, there's techniques of like bashing pillows, screaming into pillows. Someone I know has been going out cycling in the countryside and screaming and effing and blinding into the wind, which like tickles me to think about that. And because in a way, the feeling of the anger is noticing like I matter and I'm angry. And that's so powerful. I think a lot of people aren't seen and acknowledged in their anger. They think they have to hide it and diminish it. So being seen and allowing it is really good.
Being listened to can be really helpful too. Having someone who, okay, I'm going to rant and rave for 10 minutes. Will you listen to me? No advice, just listen. And then I'll listen to you for 10 minutes. Really helps me sort out what's actually happening. Helps me see it more clearly. And sometimes it's ranting and raving, and sometimes it's thinking out loud, and sometimes it's noticing what actually happened and what did I not say no to and what did I did say no to that happened anyway. And
And with that, we've created a process that, so if a man is, you know, if I'm angry at someone and say Adam here, and he's so good looking, I don't know, I think I'd get angry at him, but assuming I was, we might, you know, someone might ask me, okay, are you willing to work on this, Owen, from a perspective that really it might not be about Adam. It might be about something else. So this whole concept of having a group of people to sort of hold this space and facilitate my process where really the anger and maybe the violation I thought happened really didn't happen. Adam didn't do anything, and I'm projecting on him from my previous traumas or experiences where I didn't have agency and I didn't speak up. And then Adam does something that pushes my buttons and everyone else sees that it's disproportional. But in that moment, I don't see it, but I'm willing to look at that as a possibility, and someone guides me through this process where I start to slow down and own my experience. And then I start to see it's really not Adam. It's my relationship to my father, how he never listens to me. And then, you know, I would go the full cycle, and then I'm able to take ownership of my process and really, you know, hear Adam for what he said and accept him for who he is in that moment.
So even to add again, my favorite layer of numbness, like not realizing my boundaries got crossed, but somehow running around with this kind of worry and doubt and not really being able to let go of a situation years ago, weeks ago, minutes ago, whatever. And in this kind of fog, in this kind of unclarity, what I love so much as a physical practice is standing up and shaking in my hands, in my knees, even closing my eyes if I feel safe, breathing through my mouth instead of my nose, like really shifting into some kind of vibration, just because this is, even though it can be described as a technique, it's still something that imitates the nervous system instinctive response after stress and after freeze or collapse. So just imitating this incredibly wise and potent language of my nervous system is something that washes the unclarity of conditioning and thoughts out of my system layer by layer, and then way more embodiment and way more, how do I want to handle the situation? What is true for me in the situation is something that I have access to inside. So really shaking as transitioning to more and more space and time for sinking back into my own truth.
I love hearing all these different processes. It's true, there's a lot of different ways to support ourselves in becoming more aware.
Yeah. I guess partly that's, go for it, Owen.
I was going to say, and not only support ourselves, but support others. Mm-hmm. And to really sort of chunk down or separate that, or bring actually back together that separation we have of ourselves and someone else. And really, go through, I think we're all saying this, through our own physiological experience, and find the connection with ourselves and sort of own that space or that experience, so we can really feel empowered to connect with someone else so they don't feel separate.
Yeah, supporting someone else by witnessing them and not offering advice, but just giving them the space to be with what's really there for them. It's one of the most powerful healing things out there, I think.
And sometimes, and I've seen with the work of all these men, and I've had a lot of men get really angry at me. Really angry. And I know, and maybe everyone else in the room knows, that they're not angry at me, but I've set it up where they were allowed to get angry at me. And this man had never gotten angry a day in his life. And so he's this big guy standing this close, swearing at me, spitting. I mean, this, it's pure rage for several minutes. And then suddenly it shifts. And he's sobbing and he's in my arms telling me he loves me. And that was a life-changing experience. But to have that, he had to get angry, because he never felt that it was okay to be angry and to say no.
I feel culturally, for us to work better with boundaries as a culture, we have to be prepared to allow a bit more of this emotional fluency, for it to become more acceptable for people to be angry or upset and not having to try to fix each other the whole time. And then I feel these things sort of help to work themselves out a bit better.
Yeah, I think that we create these rules or cognitive models, which are great, but we lose the fluency and we lose this sense of that we can work this out. That, oh, you're not playing by the rules here. No, you got to play by these rules. But we don't really learn in this instinctual, emotional, and physiological way unless we have some space to screw up.
I love that. And also your description, Owen, of this completed cycle where you do not leave somebody and say, I won't love you anymore, just for you shutting down around your rage. Like, volume up. And I want to add a layer, because we are talking about boundaries, of course, in a very personal way, just because it wounds us so much if they get crossed. At the same time, this vision in my head opens up when I listen to all of you around, wow, and this world, this era, this global human nervous system would relax around those imitations of healthy boundaries that we call those borders where war is happening for. And that's not worth it. And the moment we restore our nervous system's instincts around territory, safety, self-love, the power of anger, we would let go of those made up positions of we have to kill each other just because you want to invade into my country. All of that is a replacement for what we lost in the first place inside. So it's almost like we have to shift the game, because the game around boundaries amongst humans is happening anyway. We do not have a choice around that, but we have a choice if this is for self-love and peace and intimacy or war. So I just want to fill us up with all of our wounds and, of course, all the participants, because it's so beautiful to show up with a wounding and discover this is the superpower. Mm-hmm. Mm. It has a global impact. It's not your private repairing of your own shitty personal stuff. It's always that and so much more, as you are so much more.
So it equally exists on that macro level as well as on the very individual. And that's where I guess we got to start. And most of our conversation now, I guided and addressed the questions to that as well. Like, what do we do? How can we take responsibility? How can we identify when our boundary has been crossed? All this. But my next question would be, how can we do that in relationship? How can we either help others to like get better at noticing, communicating their boundaries? Or how do we relate with people in situations where boundaries need to be set, where something needs to be negotiated? And there were a lot of questions I just want to throw in as a backdrop or a context as well, around the element of trauma, PTSD, narcissism, if someone's unwilling to even listen, to like engage, but maybe you're in a context of being in a relationship where you can't walk away. Maybe you have children together and you know you sort of need to arrange something. How can we help someone, or how can we relate to difficult situations like that? I know there's a lot, but I just want to throw this in, and maybe it stimulates something that you want to share.
Well, first I'd say get help. But what I actually want to say is that it seems more, we've been talking about being on the cross side. What about us being on the crossing side? What about when we do harm? What about when we disrespect other people's boundaries? And I just want to acknowledge that we all do it. I did it, you know, yesterday, you know, so I would like to address that question of, okay, how do we notice when we have crossed someone's boundary, and how do we take responsibility for that? In answer to your previous question, I'd say get some help. Either
how do we, is that a question? Or do you also
have a question about how do we support each other and stay in relationship? Mm-hmm. I'd say get some help. But the question of how do I handle it when someone says you have crossed the boundary or question something that I have done? I think that's what really matters.
Do you have a way? Maybe and even from yesterday.
I realized I could have talked myself into a corner. I can say that my first response may be defensive, and I think often it is. That's the way we do, because we want to protect our self-image of who, well, I'm a good person, I didn't do that, and it's, you know, you just made it up. But learning to take responsibility for my actions and the results of my actions. It's fucking hard. And it's something that I don't know, I don't have a technique or trick for it. Just that it's hard to do and it's must be done. Must be done. Yeah, I don't have a trick for it.
Thank you, Betty. For me, what it brings up is that what I expressed earlier of like being willing to admit that I didn't act according to what I thought I was or who I was or how what my values are, and I fucked up, and then to admit to that and to apologize and mean it.
Yeah,
I think. Yeah.
And I would add to that that I often have shame in that I did not behave in the way that I wanted to behave, and owning that shame. And then also really hearing the impact and feeling the impact that I had on this person or group of people. And that's hard too. And really letting them be heard, so that it's like when I violated their boundary, I went in there and took something from them. And so giving it back to them and letting them to receive that and creating some equanimity between us, where revenge, we want the other person to feel the pain that we felt. Well, it's not about revenge here, but it's, I want that person to experience that I feel that pain of what I did. And I think that starts the healing process. And then that starts to, you know, in terms of boundaries, recreate the boundaries in a healthy way.
I think one thing for me is to build our culture a bit more in a way that can deal with this. So when we get really in touch with this question of what do I actually want, and to be able to be upfront about asking for it, instead of all these strategies that we develop to get things because we're afraid to ask. And so we manipulate or we steal, or I think that's one thing is the culture side of it. Yeah, what was the question again?
There were a few of them.
I think it was a question that we're saving for another panel. That
okay. No, it was about asking and taking responsibility, and I've said enough.
Yeah, I love the completion of the whole topic by wow, and I am crossing boundaries of others, maybe every day of my life. But especially for women, this might be really a game changer, especially me, like, I would never harm somebody, and everybody else like, okay. So just this completion of also myself. And the other thing that I love so much, especially because all of us heard it from you, Betty, and I think there is like no person on earth like being more in depth with this metry. Or maybe is, but that's not the thing. The thing is, going for this is a confused collective field.
Yeah.
No, it's not. But I asked a super clear question. Why can't you answer in a clear way? Because the topic is unclear for all of us and has been like that for the last 6,000 years. That's a few billion human nervous system living 24/7 in global confusion. So just with this amount of, that's what we are talking about. Yes. You will have to fuck up it so much. You will have to fail. You will go through confusion after confusion after confusion. And the only thing is keep going. Because this going is so worth it. And the going in itself is the basic insurance around collapsing, because we would not deserve a better or more peaceful world. And if I talk about deserving, yes or no, who knows? However, we deeply deserve a better and peaceful world, and we can create it. So I think the key around moving is the anger energy activates the fight modus, which is in itself massive action. Keep moving. And another thing is almost, it's a program of two steps, because if my boyfriend hurt my boundaries, I might get hypnotized and I need to fix this situation with him, because then I can somehow return to the normal. And that is me staying in a kind of dependency that doesn't reflect the autonomy of my nervous system, and that I'm a free tigress inside, and that he is free and I can't possess him. So first of all, me being in my own safe space, shaking, feeling my teeth, wanting to kill him until this wave is over, and then not saying, and that was my rage process, but then opening the door and then taking the action outside, but in such a powerful way and aligned way that I'm not smashing my fist into his face. And at the same time, I'm self-responsible, so you don't need to know. He needs to know, but not my mess, but me inhabiting my own tigress. So that's the kind of sequence that helps helps.
Thank you, Ilan. I'm really sorry. We need to wrap this up. I think I have pretty good boundaries, so I've been told. I'm super grateful that all of you joined us today and that you allowed me to dig a bit deeper and ask some questions that I think are really rich and require a lot more discussion and discourse around them to understand. Because what I take away especially was that element of we're all imperfect. We all make mistakes. We all fuck up. And we constantly need to, through communication, figure out, communicate, and like establish boundaries and communicate. And there's a lot of like self-responsibility that's required and owning our own shit and all that, but we can help each other on the way by being forgiving and doing the work. And I know that each one of you has one or even two other sessions that you're part of during this conference. So I invite everyone to tune into these sessions. We have posted all the links to websites where you can find out more about Betty, Ilan, Owen, and Adam in the chat right now. Otherwise, go into the profiles on the conference website and you can find their websites there, because I know the chat will close and then it's gone. If you have any questions, feel free to also bring them into the Facebook group. Maybe we can post that link. It's TEC, Intimacy and Relationship on Facebook. And otherwise, if you want to keep discussing about this topic, because we could keep going just between like five people here forever, there are coffee breaks. So right after this session, you are welcome to join any of the coffee breaks. They're open in between sessions. The link has been posted as well in the chat. Keep the debate going, because it's not only experts sitting here, but it's everyone. We need to keep dialoguing about this and educating ourselves and each other. So, and last but not least, I encourage everyone who has the financial means to consider buying the recordings. This is not for us to make shit tons amount of money, not at all. We had amazing sponsors like Ilan that helped us massively, but this event is only possible because we had so many volunteers and so many people willing to work for free, for very little amounts of money, give all their time because we're passionate about this, and to make it available for some people who don't have the financial means to buy anything or to have access to any of the content we're delivering here. So you're actually supporting this creation and the people who cannot afford this. So if you want to have lifetime access to any one channel or the whole thing, consider upgrading. And that really comes not from a sales pitch place, but from like support this, because this is about connection. This is about exchange and really helping each other on the way with these practices. And with that, boundary of time. I thank you so much, Betty, Owen, Ilan, and Adam, for joining me here.
Tina, amazing moderation. Such a pleasure.
Yes. Yeah, thank you.
Mastery somehow. Yeah.
Thanks so much, and great timing as well.
Great to meet you, other folks.
Yes.
All of you, thank you.
All of you and your work matters so much.
Yeah, thank you for everyone who dialed in and fed in with questions. I tried to include them throughout.
Thanks.
And see you in some of the other sessions.
Bye.
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 Bye. Bye. Bye.